This is The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith, and also with Georgia Mills. And in this half of the programme, we're going to be exploring the issue of whether humans can achieve immortality. But is everlasting life for you? Philip Garsed hit the streets of Cambridge to canvass opinions.
Would you like to live forever?
I wish, but it's not possible.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
If I am healthy, yes.
Not forever, but for quite long.
No.
Not really.
No, not really, no.
Around 90% of the people in my tiny sample didn't like the idea of living forever. But why? And could I change their minds?
Life would become a bit of a bore if you live forever.
I'll see so many terrible things that wouldn't please me.
It's just too long.
If you could keep your health, would that change your mind?
No, I don't think it would.
Only if it keeps my family going with me.
I'd like to live forever if I could stay young.
So if science made that possible, you'd actually be really quite keen?
Yeah, definitely.
It seems that most of us don't want to live forever, although fear of the effects of ageing seems to be what's putting most people off. But the impact of modern medicine is changing things, and increasingly people are being resuscitated successfully, sometimes hours after they've apparently died. So should this make us reconsider how we think about death? Could we continually resuscitate people throughout their life, defeat the maladies of ageing, and maybe one day live forever? And more importantly, would we want to?
It wasn't all that long ago that if you were dead, you genuinely were dead. But that didn't stop people trying. In the 1700s, doctors attempted to revive drowned patients by tickling the backs of their throats with a feather, strapping them onto a trotting horse, even blowing smoke up the rectum, or even for good measure, giving them a good whipping. Well, reassuringly, today's methods of resuscitation are probably more comfortable and more effective, but as a result, the boundaries between life and death are becoming much more blurred. When is someone actually medically dead? With us is John Troyer. He's the Deputy Director of the Centre for Death and Society at Bath University. Hi, John.
Hello.
What actually is the definition of someone who has died?
The current definition is neurological or brain criteria. And so when a person has complete or total brain death, which includes the brainstem no longer operating or functioning, then you are dead.
A lot of those things that you've drawn on there, though, John, are very contemporary. They make use of modern medical definitions and medical assessments of people. What did people used to think in the old days?
For millennia, death was simply heart death. So when your heart stopped beating, you would die because there would be a lack of oxygen going through your system, and that would cause death. About the 1950s, it became understood that individuals could, in theory, be kept alive in a kind of coma state. This idea that you could have a person who somehow seemed to be alive, even though they were physically looking dead. And that was when we began to see through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, particularly in the Western first world, the development of life support technology that could, in fact, restart a stopped heart or could, in fact, keep you on ventilation or artificial circulation and oxygen input so that you could, in fact, keep a person who seemed to not be fully functioning somehow alive.
And of course, this is a moving definition, isn't it? Because people were pretty comfortable that if you said someone was brain dead a few years ago, that meant they just had no brain function whatsoever. But then on this programme, Adrian Owen sat here and said, I'm about to publish a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine where I am communicating with a brain scanner with people that no one's spoken to for 5 years or so because we thought they were brain dead.
That's right. And the definition will most certainly change. I mean, we are using a sort of mid-20th century concept of death right now. And if there's one thing that can be certain about the definition of death is that it will change as different kinds of sort of diagnostic tools become even stronger or new approaches to thinking through what is going on inside the brain when we think that a person is dead. I mean, one of the big questions right now is if a person who seems to be dead or is in a persistent vegetative state or is responding to stimuli, is that person still that person? meaning is there still a conscious person there, or is it a response that is a response, but it might be different than what we think of as actually being the person, him or herself? And these are the bigger questions that we're getting into now.
Thank you very much. That's John Troyer from Bath University's, as you heard, Centre for Death and Society, Georgia.